This episode of the Red and White Podcast is brought to you by Roback, roback.com, performance apparel company. They make polos, hoodies, Q-zips that are legit just the best fit and the best feel. I know you've seen the little dog logo on people's shoulders. That's Roback. They gave you a 20% off coupon if you use the code REDWHITE. So go support the sponsors of the podcast. Go get yourself some sick apparel. And thanks for listening.
All right, y'all. Here is part two of James Henderson on the Red and White Podcast.
So the over-under wins 6.5. You're taking the over, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that. You don't think that's low?
I do think it's low. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, again, barring something, you know, barring catastrophic injuries, like if you lose. Yeah, and I'm personally like, even if Armstrong got injured, I still think, I agree. I think MJ Morris will be really good. So I'm not worried about even one injury at the quarterback position. But, I mean, you know, the fact that NC State won 8 games last year and they were rolling out Ben Finley, no offense to Ben. you know, I mean, like, he wasn't even on the radar, man. You know that. Yeah. Wasn't even on the radar. And you go and win at Carolina. You know, I think 6.5, that seems really low to me. I was asked about it on – one of our recent pods, we were talking about adding Rosner. Would that change the number? And I'm just like, I just think that number is low without him. I mean, I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I mean, I feel like there's what, 2 or 3 non-conference wins that should be there, right? I mean,
mm-hmm. UConn, Notre Dame, VMI, Virginia. You should be 3-1 worse going through there, right?
Yeah. And then you got the Marshall game at home.
Louisville, Marshall, Duke. 2 of those at home. Louisville, Marshall at home. Duke's basically a home game. You don't really know what we're going to get from Duke this year. They had a decent year last year.
Right. Clemson, Miami.
Wake.
Home. Then you got Wake at Virginia Tech, who some people think is the worst team in the league this year. I don't know. Yeah. And then North Carolina at home. I mean, I think when I look at the schedule, one of the things we discussed, I want to get your opinion on this. Do you prefer – years where you have your perceived to be tougher teams at home or on the road?
Who are my tougher teams?
Like I'll give an example. So when I look at this schedule, so me and Ethan had this discussion. Ethan took the opposite opinion of mine. So when I look at this schedule, I like it because when I look in the league, I think Virginia and Virginia Tech are 2 of the worst perceived teams in the league. I like having those games on the road.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
It gives you an opportunity to get a road game. He prefers having the Clemson, the Miami, or the Florida State, whoever's the 1, 2, 3 team in the league on the road because he's viewing it as a likely loss. You understand what I'm saying? Like, how do you see it?
I think Ethan's crazy. I think if you look at you can win those games on the road, and then having Clemson at home gives you a chance to win it at home.
Yeah, exactly.
You absolutely want that schedule set up the way it is, where you have Clemson, Miami, shit, even Notre Dame and North Carolina. I mean, you have every game at home other than the Wake Forest, who
– right.
It still shouldn't be a tough game, but it is what we know the history. Yeah.
Right. Carolina. Yeah. I mean, you got Carolina, Miami, Clemson, Notre Dame all at home. I don't want those teams on the road.
No chance. I love our schedules here. It sets up really well for us.
Right. And that's when I look at it, I'm saying 6.5. With a guy like Armstrong's upside and Tony Gibson's deep, I think that's
the defense should be really good. I mean, I think it's going to be maybe not the run stopper we've had, but I think it should probably be more aggressive in creating turnovers. I think secondary is going to be very good. Linebackers, you know, I mean, you got to replace some guys, but you still have Peyton Wilson and some other guys who have been talented.
Devon Betty, you've added a couple pass rushers they like to where, I mean, I think the defense is going to be good. I was surprised by it. I think the number is basically not factoring in Armstrong's upside. Right. And then if you look at on paper what all NC State lost, that people are ignoring, you're returning like 10 guys who have started for you on defense. Right. You know, but you did lose Engle and Drake and Durden, a bunch of named guys who, those great players.
None
but
of them
State's played a lot of guys the last couple of years, man. So
none of those guys were drafted. Yeah. I mean,
right. Yeah.
What's the biggest question mark for you on either side of the ball?
I went with actually I got two. Kicker, which I talked about, which again is maybe that's a cop out, but
yes, yeah.
Hell, dude, okay. Let's go back to 2016. If I would have said kicker's a question mark, ah, who cares? I'm just saying
like, game, you're not gonna need a kicker, right? We're gonna
okay. But for me, honestly, I am more concerned about running back than wide receiver.
Okay.
Like I think and again, this goes back to what I liked about Drinkwitz, what he did. You go and look at those 3 years with Drinkwitz. He featured Nyheim Hines and let him get going. Matt Days had an all ACC season under him. Reggie Gillespie had an all ACC season. I mean, he had 1,000 yards and 18 touchdowns in a season. And he got work. And my question at the running, are they going to continue to just rotate guys in? And
they don't have that many guys.
Will it be? But can you not go with Michael Allen?
Oh, yeah. Not, he should be getting like, 60+%.
Yeah. I mean, you know, because I'm a big believer at the running back position. I think there's something to getting a feel in game, like getting your reps, getting going in a game to where when State was doing the rotate one guy every series, it's like, come on, man. I just think that's tough to get a rhythm as a running back. Yeah. So that's the question for me. And you lose – I think if you would have asked me if Demi Sumo was returning, I would have said he's probably got as much upside as anybody. He's gone. Yeah, I running back's a question. Do you have the difference maker there? You pointed out a few minutes ago talking about Nyheim. I mean, you go back to that 2017 season, the Pittsburgh game where he broke the long touchdown run, the North Carolina game where he had the two touchdown runs, Boston College on the road. I mean, that game was like 13-10. BC may have been leading with 5 or 6 minutes to go. He broke a 50-yard touchdown run.
Yeah.
And it's like, do you have a guy like that? Where if you're going to win a league, you're going to need someone to win a game or two for you when you're not playing well. And, I don't know. So for me, I would say running back more than receiver, just because I think scheme-wise, receiver is going to be fine. Yeah. I think they'll find somebody that they'll be fine at receiver.
Michael Allen and Jordan Houston both being on that fastest speed list that you had.
Yeah.
Like, that is a little bit more reassuring to me. And I think the usage is going to be different. They're not just going to ask Jordan Houston to run inside zone, right? I mean, I think Anai is going to – my hope is that Anai uses him to the best of his abilities, and that is not running between the tackles.
And also, like we said, adding a quarterback in to the run game. I mean, that's going to help the run game, you know? I mean, like the fact that Brennan Armstrong can go QB counter, QB draw, QB power in the goal line. I mean, what have we talked about under Beck at various times? We've had issues with their red zone offense. I mean, well, you didn't have a running quarterback. It matters when you get in there. Can you have a guy keep the ball and you can go, you can call his number? And I think Armstrong's going to help you there. Even MJ, if you go that route, you know? So I just worry, like, from the position standpoint, we haven't seen a guy like Jordan Houston's had multiple opportunities and maybe he gets another opportunity, but he hadn't really done it, you know, like,
yeah,
broke it out.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
So my biggest concern is offensive line. Talk me off the ledge there. Is the offensive line going to be okay, serviceable, better, bad? Where are we going to be there? We've lost some quality offensive linemen over the last 2-3 seasons. We brought in a couple pieces. You know, now that Dylan McMahon's finally in his position. Dawson Jaramillo, you know, coming in from Oregon. Supposed to be pretty good. Six man for Oregon. Like, who's gonna be, who we got? Like, who are
attacking? Yeah, I mean, I think the big question is gonna be, can Anthony Belton step up? You know, he's getting some buzz as a draft guy at left tackle. Can he kind of step into his potential? I think Timothy McKay is another guy who's played a lot for you. Derek Eason has played a lot for you. You mentioned McMahon, you mentioned Jaramillo. I mean, some of the younger guys, you know, is Lyndon Cooper going to find a way to get out there? I mean, I think you've got some options. But, yeah, I think it's a question. You know, how much of it is going to be aided by the scheme? You know, this air raid system, a lot of wide splits, getting the ball out quicker, quick vertical shots. Like, I mean, you can help your running game out a lot or your offensive line out a lot with what you do. schematically. We talked about it with the run game. Like I've already told you, I don't think the O-line is going to necessarily be better this year, even though I think the run game is going to be better. Right. You know, and we're going to look at it and say, I mean, if you're all of a sudden rushing for 150 yards per game, we're going to feel like the O-line's better. Like I would go to our boards after every game last year and be like, the O-line stinks because we're not running for they were saying this with Icky. We're not running for a lot of yards. The offensive line stinks. Why can't – well, I mean, because you're leaving a guy unblocked and he's running every play down because he doesn't care about your quarterback. That has nothing to do with your running. That has nothing to do with your offensive line. You know, and so I think what the way you're trying to attack is going to help State out a little bit. But, yeah, it's a question. Even McMahon at center is a question. Right. You know, I mean, like I think they want him to play there, but until you see him consistently do it, you know, it is a question. I just think schematically they can dance around that a little bit, you know. At least that's my hope.
All right, I got some questions from my folks.
All right.
Does James Henderson view the recruiting as a success thus far in football? High school classes have gotten smaller, but State is still only taking 3 to 5 guys in the portal.
Man, like I'm the wrong person to ask about that because I would give up on high school recruiting.
Yeah, I agree.
Outside I mean, like seriously, the fact that teams are doing NIL with high school recruits is baffling to me. And I know you've got to do it to some degree. You probably have to. But you're talking about a guy who you have no clue if he's going to be good or not. No clue. I don't care what he's ranked coming in. I mean, you may feel pretty good about it, but you know this. I mean, how many 4 or 5-star guys have we seen not pan out? And then you've seen some guys that are 2 stars that you probably could get for free be really, really good. You know, I mean, I just would be saving my NIL, whatever I have, and use that transfer portal or taking care of my proven guys to keep them on campus for me. And so from a high school standpoint, I would be, you know, I would probably throw out trying to take upside. Because let's be honest, and this especially extends to basketball. Like if you can't get a guy on the court in 2 years in basketball, you might as well not even bring him in. Because you're going to already have recruited over and through the portal anyways. Right. So if you can't bring a guy in that can play right away, there's no point bringing him in from the high school level on the basketball side. Now, football, I get it. It makes a little more sense, especially on the offensive line. But at the skill position, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. We were talking about some of the receivers you mentioned, like Porter Rooks and Keon Lassane. Like how often does a guy like that break out?
Not often.
Like, just completely break out. Like, after, you know, it just feels like you – and I'm sure there are outliers there. It just feels like that you generally, after a guy's been on campus for you 3 years or 4 years, if he hadn't broken out, he's probably not going to. It's especially just, when
it,
he's
– Yeah. Is that usage, though? That's weird. That's the question. Is it usage, right? Is it set up? Are they set up to break out, right?
I don't know. So I just look at it from high school recruiting as just kind of like – I mean, you're going to bring some of those. You're going to bring those guys in, but what type should you be trying to bring in? So I'm not as worried about it. I definitely wouldn't be investing in it from an NIL standpoint, because then I don't want you to turn around and tell me in the spring that we don't have NIL opportunities for transfers. That would be
right.
It's just I'm like, well, you shouldn't have done it with the high school guys.
Yeah.
You get where I'm coming from with that? Like,
I do. I agree. I want all my lines in the trenches to come from transfers. I will take upside skill positions from high school.
Yeah.
If you can land the high.
Hey, if you can get a Jonathan Paler, you can get a Noah Rogers, do it for sure. Right. But do you need to bring in a 4'6", 2-star receiver anymore?
No, not at all.
You know, save those spots for the portal. Because the other thing that I think frustrates me with recruiting is there's just perception out there that everybody who's still in the portal is not good. Like I think I saw recently there's like 750 kids still in the transfer portal. Like right now. And we've got the season starting in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Or two, you know, and it's like, I'm like, well, you mean to tell me all those guys are not good? It's baffling to me because it's like I can go and find a Jalen Samuels or a BJ Hill or Garrett Bradbury who coming out of high school we were told are not good. Right. But I can't go look in that portal and find like evaluate and find somebody who can be really good for me. And those guys, now mind you, I would imagine at this point in the process, you'd agree are probably free.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. They can get a spot. Yeah, they get a spot.
Yeah, they can get a spot right now. They're probably free. Like, so when folks are like, well, we can't afford everybody in the portal. You don't have to. Evaluate the portal properly. You're going to be able to get guys for free at some point. Mm-hmm. And so I would just keep those spots available. That's why I wouldn't be bringing in 20 high school kids. No, hell no. Hell no. I mean, 10 to 15 for me. And then everything else I'm doing transfer portal.
Yeah. That's, I can agree with that. I wanted to ask you about that. I meant to ask you this weeks ago. Muggerbill came by way of Florida, Colorado, is now a walk-on at NC State. Is that a true walk-on? Is that an NIL walk-on? Is that – I
think it's a true walk-on. And, again, this is one of the ones who you're getting a guy out of the transfer portal who was a former four-star recruit.
Right.
As a walk-on. Because he frankly didn't have nowhere to – you know, like, there's no spots available. And that's part of the problem with the guys that are still in the portal. It's not necessarily, to me, an indication that they're not very good. It's that there's just not a lot of spots left after team. You know, you think about how many guys go into the portal each year, and then you're supplementing them with high school kids. But, I mean, I think Muggerbill, that to me is a very, very good swing for the fences play by State. You know, if you're not familiar with his background, when I think his freshman year at Florida, he got into an accident.
Car accident, yep.
Car accident, got hit by a car while he was on a scooter and lost a lot of weight. And he's an offensive lineman, so, you know, he has to put the weight back on. Went with Tim Brewster to Colorado. That didn't work out here in the spring. I don't know what didn't work out means. I don't know if that means he didn't come out with a guaranteed starting job, so he decided to go back in the portal. I don't know. But here are.
Deion kicked everybody out, right?
Right. I mean, but Deion brought him in. That's what I'm saying. Oh, is like he was one of the – he was in that first group that he brought in in January. Or, you know, so he didn't commit to the previous Colorado staff. He committed to the current Colorado staff, then went through spring ball, and then chose to leave there, which there were a lot of guys leaving. I mean, they had a tight end who was supposed to be all conference left out. So I don't know, but I think that's a guy you gamble on, you know, in the portal. Like, give me him.
Yeah, agreed.
High school lineman or that guy.
Yeah, give me that guy. Yeah.
Right.
Do you think NC State is currently constructed NIL TV exposure to land any of these high-end playmakers in recruiting or in the portal? Why or why not?
We were talking about the wide receiver recruiting here recently. You look at the last 2 years, you've had Noah Rogers, Nate Laycock, Kevin Concepcion, Terrell Anderson, Jonathan Paylor, Alex Taylor. I think those to me are my top six guys, I would say.
Yeah.
You got Jordan Shipp. I wasn't a big Jordan Shipp fan, whatever. The thing about all those guys is, like, none of them really, to me, were tailor-made to go to NC State. Like, you understand what I mean by that? You didn't have, like, this natural, we should get that guy. Now, you could say Nate Laycock's a legacy recruit. It's Tennessee and what they're doing with NIL.
And we were late on him, right?
I mean, and State was late on him.
Yeah.
And you got Noah Rogers. You got Ohio State calling you. You know, you did get KC over North Carolina. You know, Jonathan Paylor, you're right here competing against the SEC school for him. Alex Taylor, North Carolina. I mean, I don't think there was any, like, guy you felt like we should get that guy, you know, based on whatever. There are no layups. I mean, those are real schools you're competing against. So – But I mean, are they set up from an NIL standpoint? I do think so, because I don't think a lot of schools are giving high school yet to the level that maybe fans believe they are. Like, I've heard rumors that there's been no NIL discussions with Jonathan Paylor in South Carolina. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's true, but I don't think every kid from a high school standpoint is getting approached with NIL opportunities. Because some schools just pick and choose. Like, one rumor, you know, I'd heard was that, like, Miami, for instance, targets just a couple positions via NIL out of high school. And they don't recruit, they don't offer NIL to anybody else positionally. And so I think it might be kind of what we were talking about, a way to use your funds. Like, how do you just, you know, how do you split it up? So I think there is some guys that, if you're State, you could probably have a shot at if you go to them, right, with an NIL package, if they're not getting approached by others. It's just a matter of finding those guys.
How has that changed? This is kind of a combo question somebody asked me. how has that changed your business from covering recruiting? Is it more or less difficult with transfer portal and, you know, trying to track people, you know, recruiting's the big stick, you know, how's that changed IPS and over the last 10, 15 years between PacProd and IPS for you?
It's made it better to me because you know this, you follow it. Like spring was kind of like a dead zone.
Right.
You know, in general, right? I mean,
yeah.
Obviously you're already moving on to the next class prior pre-transfer portal. You were starting to look at next year's class on football side. Basketball, all hell breaks loose now that the season's over. I mean, like the funnest part for me is covering basketball transfer portal recruiting, given the way it is. Like you just used to never have that. You would have like, you remember back in the Herb years, you'd have one guy that you might be bringing in via the portal, you know, whereas now, I mean, State brought in what, six, seven, seven transfers.
Yeah. It could be a whole new team.
I think that helps your business. And that helps your business. Like, I mean, I'm going to be fully transparent with this. Some of the most profitable months we've had the last 2 years have been basketball recruiting via the transfer portal. Just because, I mean, that's, you know, it's something we didn't have prior, you know, previously. I mean, so I think it's helped. There, you know, during the year, it gets kind of lean there in the beginning of the year, but it's always been that way, like at the start of the season, because, you know, high school recruiting kind of backs off when the season starts. That hadn't changed, but I think it's increased the coverage of recruiting. You're just kind of looking at it in a different light. I mean, you're just adding a different layer to it.
Yeah. All right. We've been dancing around it. I've had a few chances to bring it up, but how is all this going to change when NC State goes the James Henderson plan, goes all in on basketball, and just becomes Creighton?
Well, I mean, like, I know you're joking with me here.
Well, but this is our conversation the other day. Yeah. We need to invest more in basketball.
Well, I will start by asking you this one simple question. Do you want to win a championship?
No, yeah, I mean, of course, we hadn't won a championship in anything.
Exactly. And when I sit here and see Georgia Tech and the great Josh Pastner winning a championship, I just said Josh Pastner, by the way, won a championship. Miami, you know, Virginia. Tony Bennett's great, but it's still Virginia. Leonard Hamilton, Florida State. Virginia Tech, 2 years ago, did they win an ACC championship, I remember correctly? Mike Young?
Yeah, they did win that year. Or they won the regular season or what, one of those.
Yeah.
So what does State need? What does State need to invest in basketball they haven't had?
Well, I mean, you go – okay, I'll give you an example. Do you know who, I guess, documented the two most – expensive transfer portal additions were going into last year from a basketball standpoint? And this was documented. Like
Nigel publicly. Pack, right? And I don't know the
and Norchad Omer.
Okay.
Both from Miami. What did Miami do this past year?
I have no idea.
They won the ACC regular season championship.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
15-5 because they bought the two best transfer portal guys they could get with NIL. And so, like, I'm just saying, if we want to win a title, why do you invest in the sport everybody else tends to be investing in? Like, because again, I don't like the comment. I don't like the thought of money. Because, again, as a fan or as an alum, I'm not getting any money from the school. Like, are you making anything from it?
No.
If the SEC goes to – like, if NC State goes to the SEC and gets all this money, how are the fans – like, are they cutting checks to the fans?
I wish.
I'm just saying. So, like, why should we care about the money then, as a fan?
Agreed.
I think
you and I are on the same side in this. Will and I have had this conversation a lot. Okay. That the more money doesn't help us technically, right? It doesn't help you and I because all that means is the inflated budgets of the athletic departments and the ADs and these in that regard. So I get it, and I 100% agree. Where the more money comes into play is when you need more money to buy more coaches and buy whatever else you need to do in these sports. And then when the players eventually become employees, which is going to happen, you need to have the money for that, right? And you need to be on par. There's not going to be a salary cap of some sort unless the NCAA gets his ass together. But so the more money is for future proofing that regards. I agree. I think it's all ridiculous anyway, and they're already milking the fans for more. So the investment, so your point about what should NC State do? We should buy more players. Yeah, but that needs to come from, like, how do you get that money out of the athletic department and into, you know, recruiting, so to speak, right? Otherwise, you're just asking fans for more money, and I think that is the wrong way to do it.
Yeah, and that goes with, in my opinion, like, somebody at NC State in all these programs should hire a guy I like to call the common sense guy. You know, just the guy that's going to be there and just give some common sense to him. Like, hey guys, you know, like, should we be investing $11 million in NIL right now? Or, excuse me, in facilities right now? You think we should? Like, if you're baseball, should you be putting in $11 million into all of these baseball facilities right now on a baseball side? Or should you say, maybe, how about you give $8 million to baseball and you take $3 million and give it to NIL? How do you think baseball will be doing?
Yeah, but how do you – like, that requires NC State to walk some lines that NC State is not willing to walk.
I don't think it really should, though.
I don't think it should, but the way it's set up.
Somebody there saying, hey, your percentage might be better off if you – I'm just your money. You can do what you want to do with it. As opposed to giving to facilities, give it to this NIL collective over here. Agreed. Is that a conversation you can't have with somebody?
Yes, you can't do that. If, like, that is, like, for a while, they couldn't even, athletic departments couldn't even mention NIL. That has changed.
I'm just telling you right now. So if I'm a collective, okay, if I'm a collective and I know a donor is thinking of giving X amount of dollars to facilities, I can't reach out to that donor and say, your money might be better off. Yeah, you can for a donor.
Okay. That doesn't mean that you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. Somebody's got to find that there has to be somebody in place to do that for your school. Because the fact that you're giving $15 million to baseball right now for a new. And again, I'm not saying you don't give zero. I'm not saying you do zero for facilities. Right. $15 million?
There's a disconnect in the source of those funds, though. Like, we're talking about more money, TV deals. We're down the CW.
They're still getting money. They're still getting money committed for baseball. Right. I believe that number was $13 million at the start of the year. It's at $15 million now. Right. So someone's given $2 million over the last 8 months, and no one's had the common sense to say, hey, find a way to get $500 of that to NIL for baseball and see what type of players you can probably get.
Again.
Because, like, if there's a sport you can really help with NIL, it's baseball.
I agree.
There's 13 scholarships, I believe, to field 27 players. Some of these teams are going to start fully scholarshipping everybody via NIL.
Yeah.
See how that helps out with recruiting.
Right.
When you can fully scholarship via NIL.
Agreed.
And so, do you really need a new field?
The university needs to put some of that money, find a way to get some of their money. So all those TV deals, all of the stuff that's coming in from conferences and, you know, the more money that we keep talking about, it's not more money from the fans. It's more money. They're calling, like, the university wants more money. Like, Randy Woodson wants more money for whatever he wants to do with it. And he's not.
Yeah.
That's a different story.
Yeah, that's part of the problem.
So,
I mean, I'm not saying Woodson's part of the problem. I'm just like the fact that where people are getting paid and all that. That's another thing I argue with. Right. But what we were discussing was really about the SEC and this whole notion of having a seat at the table. Like, I was trying to find a quote here because I think it was Sonny Dykes. I saw a tweet. Did you see the tweet he put up? Might have been about a month ago where he was talking about Missouri and Texas A&M and how much more they're winning now that they're in the SEC. Making all that SEC money, you know, like, and that's kind of my whole point is, like, as a fan, if you want to win, I just don't get why you want to go join the SEC. Like, I don't understand why you want to go to the SEC if you want to win titles.
Yeah. I mean, that's future.
Because frankly, who's going to be winning titles in the SEC the next 10, 20 years in football? Probably three teams.
Yeah. Four teams. Yeah.
So, and that's kind of, I think, what got us discussing is we were talking about Creighton, for instance, who don't have a football program. Right. So whatever they do have, they put into basketball. They fully invest in the basketball. And, you know, a lot of teams in the Big East do that, does that. Butler, Xavier, you know.
Well, again, I think that being in the SEC, that TV money is, again, future-proofing you for when they become employees. Like Mac Brown said it, he said in 2 years they're going to be employees. This current is not sustainable. This current system is not going to hold up.
Right.
And, yeah, you can't keep asking fans to invest more. I think that is just completely disingenuous when your university breaks in hundreds of millions of dollars and then – like, oh, but, you know, we need money to fund this NIL. Like, if I'm NC State, like somebody, like you said, your common sense guy's got to say, look, we've got a budget of a freaking ton of money we get every year from these TV contracts. Why don't we get some of that into these NIL? Like, if you have to go through James Henderson, Inc. and give you $1 million to give it to the NIL, like, find a way to get that money from there to there and not stress our fans about more money. Because I think that is where we are – losing people. I think college sports is losing interest because they keep trying to squeeze us for more, right? And then you say, well, we want these TV contracts for, you know, $100 million. Like, I'm not seeing anything. Like you said, we're not seeing any of that. The fans aren't seeing any of that. The university is, that's lying in somebody's pockets. It's still not getting to the players, right? It's still not being used to NIL. Like, that bridge has got to be gapped somewhere. And I think it's going to happen in the near future, but, you know, State has never pushed the envelope in anything because they're too scared of getting slapped on the wrist, slapped on the hand. And
yeah, somebody's pushing that envelope elsewhere.
Yeah. 100%.
Somebody's smart. They have a common sense guy over there being like, hey, I'll give you another thing that my common sense guy would say. Debbie Yao was hired in 2010. Her starting salary, her first year at NC State was $450,000. It is 2023. I believe I saw Boo Corrigan's making $1.2 million right now. Or is it more than that?
Yeah.
$1.6 million?
Yeah. I agree. I raise it all. And again,
like, Boo, hey, Boo, make whatever kind of money you can make, man. I'll give you a fist pat bump. Good job. Because somebody signed off on that. If you can get it, get it, right? Like, if you can get it, get it. But you mean to tell me in 13 years – that job is required to be or should be making four times almost what it was making?
Nope. I agree.
And we're asking and we're acting like we're poor? Really?
Yeah. It drives me crazy. It absolutely drives me crazy.
And that's why I don't care about money. That's why I don't care about a seat at the table. I don't care about money because I don't believe the money's going to be put anywhere anyways. Maryland went to the Big Ten because of money.
Yeah.
Rutgers went to the Big – how much has money helped Rutgers win championships in the Big Ten?
It's not
helping Maryland.
It will in the future
Maryland
when they're paying players. That's the only caveat is it will because they're going to be employees at some point. Not currently, the current system is not helping anybody.
But I think what you're going to have happen is you're going to have schools, and when that comes around, you're going to have schools eliminate programs to where they can facilitate paying players. Some schools are going to eliminate smaller programs to make it happen where they can still be competitive in that market.
That would be insane with the additional.
But I think that's going to happen. I think you're going to see that happen. Right. The traditional sense is going to be thrown out the window once you can start paying players. We can talk about Title IX and all that all we want to. There are going to be some concessions made because, like you said, financially, everybody can't do it. They can't pay everybody. Right. Like every school can't. Now, some schools can. But when you go get a seat, like I don't want a seat at the SEC table because I want to win something. And again, if we decide that we don't want to win a championship, then let's go to the SEC and we can sit at the table and make a lot of money. We don't. Again, me and you don't make a lot of money, but the school can make money. You know, Boo can continue to get raises, which, hey, I'm not knocking Boo. I feel like I've said no offense like 10 times. I'm not knocking him for making more money because if you can get it, get it. But well, you said 1.6 million. She made 450 in 2010, dude.
Yeah. Common sense and college athletics do not mix. Right? We know that.
It's what you're seeing is a product of though everybody benefiting from players never being paid.
Yeah.
Somebody has to make the money. The money has to go somewhere.
Right.
It's going somewhere. And it used to be like, you know, I've talked to athletes, you know, we do our Elite Plus program where we do some NIL stuff with guys. I've had guys over here, and off the record, I've asked them, like, and I'm not naming names so I can say this, but like, hey, man, do you prefer facilities or NIL? I mean, come on, man.
It's the NFL, right? They don't care about.
Almost looked at like one of them almost wanted this. One of them almost went like this, had his hand like he was gonna slap me, man. Like,
yeah.
What kind of question is that?
Yeah.
Like, they don't care about facilities. Like, now facilities were great when you didn't have NIL, right? Because then we could say we're giving you a nice facility, and you know, you got somewhere where you can, you know, wash your ass. It's really clean, I guess. I don't know, somewhere nice. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
But now you can pay me.
Pay
like if you go to the baseball team right now and you sit here and you tell them, you guys know they're giving $15 million or they've raised $15 million to redo Doak. But what if we took some of that and gave it to NIL? What do you think they'd say?
100%. I agree. Yeah.
Nah, man, I want this new bullpen. I want this pitching lab. Get out of it. No. No. And then you use that money going to portal. Look at the guy Wake just got.
Yeah. Yeah.
State's a good enough program where if state right. Yeah, state's a good enough program where if they have money, like an NIL money, they could go out and get big name baseball dudes.
Right. I agree.
I mean, because you know, ACC's right there with the SEC, which I don't know what that's going to do whenever because I'm being told, I guess, when the Power Five or the P2 emerges, you're not going to have the ACC's not going to exist anymore or something.
Well, when ESPNs get sold off and they don't have any money to pay any of these conferences anyway. That whole thing's going to get blown up and we'll get right back to where we started. I'm pretty sure it's going to happen.
That's what I think. I mean, So I just think I want to be where we can win something.
I agree with that. It's just the investment differential. Like, I'm still putting in football because it's driving me the most money. But my allocation would be towards NIL and not towards administrations or any of those other non-essential things. And that's currently more money comes in. It goes there.
Do you really think no school has sit here and come up with a way to just get to boosters and let them know where the money should go?
Oh, I mean, I'm almost certain that Tennessee or some of these schools who, granted, they have big money boosters, but they're still finding a way to give – what's that guy own? Fuel City or one of those big gas station chains, like they're finding a way to give him contracts so he can get that contract right back into the NIL. Like, the universities need to be more proactive in pushing that envelope and not just asking your big donors for more money to be funneled into these things.
Yeah. But, and I think what you're going to eventually have happen is you're going to eventually see the NCAA find a way to legislate it to where your booster clubs are basically going to operate as your collectives. I think that's going to be what they're going to have happen at some point.
That's what it should be anyway. I mean, it's kind of what it's doing anyway, right? I mean,
right. But I just I'm not a big we have to be in the SEC guy simply because I just don't see a path to winning that league in football.
No,
I see an easier path in the ACC in both sports. But then you look at it from a basketball standpoint. If we're sitting here saying we want to win a championship, to me, it's been proven the easiest championship to win in out of those three sports is probably you could say baseball, but you know what's going to happen when State wins a baseball championship, right? Like, no one, they're going to say it's not football or basketball. Like, we're lumping, you know how it works. Like, we're lumping baseball in now because you haven't won one.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how you remember, like, 5 years ago, it was like women's basketball was included.
Right. It's the major.
And now they just take women's basketball out. They don't ignore the whole stat. So, but in basketball, I mean, like, Virginia Tech won it 2 years ago. Like, Miami won the regular season this past year. Pitt came in second. You know, I mean, like, there's ways that you can win a championship. And so I would just try. And again, I'm not saying you invest all your money, but, you know, invest more. Miami made the decision. Now, to be fair, I will say Miami obviously had a big NIL deal where they were still giving a lot to football too, right? So it wasn't just like they were giving to basketball. But when you go out and get O'Meara and you go out and get Pack, I mean, those were the two marquee names in the portal. They go to Miami, they win a championship.
Does State not have enough NIL money for hoops?
No, I think State's really good right now from an NIL standpoint on the basketball side. Like, they're not great. Like, you look at – like, I mean, I've heard rumors of Arkansas having $5 million. I mean, literally $500,000 a player. I've heard rumors of that. I mean, like – I don't think there's anybody at NC State making $500,000, a single player, from an NIL standpoint.
Yeah.
And that's why Arkansas can go out and get L. Ellis and, you know, Battle from Temple. I mean, they can just go out and get everybody because they're offering so much more than everybody. Yeah. But I think State's competitive to where it still becomes a deal. And this is kind of my whole argument to the, like, the thought process. I think there's also a thought process from fans that, like, if you're not in one of those two leagues, you won't be able to get any players. Well, there's still a demand for players and a demand for playing time. Like, those schools can only take X amount of guys. So, you know, the other schools are going to still get players. You know, if there's 20 Power 5 teams or there's 20 teams in the SEC, 20 in the Big Ten, where are the other 30 Power 5 programs going? They're not just going to disappear, you know? I mean, so I just don't worry about it. I think, hell, I'd almost rather be in that conference. Maybe you can win it.
Yeah.
Could you?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a good place to leave that. Like, I just think the money is – the source of the money is the bigger issue at the moment. And I'm all for NC State investing more into basketball as long as they're not saying, hey, we need more NIL money. Like, let's invest from the athletic department and find a way to buy some players that way. Like, let's pay them. Let's make them employees. Somebody's got to push the envelope. Somebody's going to, and it's going to happen. I would love to be proactive. I know it's not what we're going to do, but you and I were just texting about this, and that's yeah. The part where I'm like,
I mean,
investing
and for me,
invest into it.
Right. And for me, I just don't feel the need to make more money to pay more staffers.
Yeah. 100%. 100%.
Like that doesn't, you know, like I'd rather just, you know, stay where I'm at.
Somebody needs to bridge that gap and find a way to get that money from.
Yeah, I mean, like the inflation within athletics department has to be astronomical, right? Like, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at what Dave Doran's making now from when he started. And I mean, Dave's still employed, he's done a great job. Yeah. But look at what he's making. Like, should a coach be making that much more money? And this isn't about Dave Doran, it's just in general, right?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Like Dabo Swinney, like it's just the amount of money these coaches are making and again, somebody's getting paid. They have to pay somebody. I don't know.
How do we find a way to get that to you and I? Like, how do we get that investment, like more money flowing to us? Like, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I need to talk to some people over there and figure that out for us. Right. I mean, how can we make some more, like,
yeah, I'll funnel the money for them. Come on. I got businesses.
Yeah, it's, maybe that common sense guy will come through for us. Because, I mean, somebody's got to come over there and just say, hey, man, I keep going to the baseball one because that blows me away.
Yeah.
That they're still bringing in money for facilities. Like, nobody has said, stop giving to this. We've got enough. Give to this.
Yeah. The Tennessee athletic director said it like a year or two ago. I forgot, after he came out and they could finally talk. The athletic directors could finally acknowledge NIL. He was like, we need everybody to donate to NIL. Like, he came out and admitted, like, focus your money over here. That's where it should be. Like, yes, I agree. Like, we're still operating independently.
I go back to the indoor. I mean, indoor has been great for State, I assume. But you played 60 years of football without it. More.
Yeah.
I mean, that was $17 million, I believe. Imagine putting $17 million in the NIL. Pretty good.
We'd be all right.
Yeah, he'd be all right. I mean, could you survive a thunderstorm or two? You know, like,
yes.
Huh?
I mean,
it's just one of those things where, you know, I saw they had a barber shop in the Murphy Center now. I don't know how much that costs, but
could have bought a player for that one. I guarantee it.
Right. So.
How do we get your common sense guy hired?
I don't know, man. Somebody's got to, like, there's so many things the common sense guy can do. Yeah. I mean, like, just stand up in the room. Hey, you know, another example we were using the other day is, like, the whole always offering these guys that have Alabama off. Like, what are we doing?
You got to get the Alabama recruits, right?
it's like, hey, you know, we're offering a kid from Georgia who Alabama offered 2 days ago, and he's on campus. Yeah. He's at Alabama right now. Let's bring – like, I forget the kid's name. There was a guy who came to camp this summer. who was committed to Ohio State, was an underclassman, and he came up for an unofficial visit. He's committed to Ohio State, and he's an out-of-state recruit. Like, would it have been wrong of State to say, man?
Let's stay in touch when you're on the portal.
We'll stay in touch. We just can't really give the time to you right now with camp going on.
Yeah.
Because you're not coming here. What are we doing?
Right.
Like, that's the type of stuff where I just look at it. It's just, I don't know. Like I said, I mean, you can always find use for somebody with some common sense.
I agree. College athletics does not have a whole lot of it. No.
I mean, like, I feel like I've been attacking Boo Corrigan the last 30 minutes. That just, when I saw that stat, it blew me away.
Get him.
It blew me away. I mean, and it's nothing about Boo. It's just like, that's a hell of a job to have right now, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like a college AD.
Oh, it's a good one. Yeah. Very little accountability. Very little accountability. A lot of money.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know.
All right, James. Well, we'll leave it at that. As always, I enjoy talking to you about this.
Yeah, man.
Enjoy busting your balls half the time too. It gives some of our friends on our group chat some entertainment, I think.
Well, let me know when you post this. I'll throw it on the board and
yeah, I appreciate that.
We
should have some good comments, man. We ran the gamut here. We got from, you know, Anthony Smith to Debbie Al and Boo Corrigan, and yeah.
Yeah. We'll be all right. We need to do it again. We need to do it with Will, man. I'm going to get back on when.
Yeah, Will's been AWOL. I need to get Will back going now. But we need to get on the course soon, too, before season starts and you're busy.
Oh, man, you're going to be killing me. Oh, God. It's so deflating getting out there with you. You'll come out with sandals on and just like no gloves. And it's just like, come on, man. No, we'll do it. We'll do it for sure.
All right, buddy. As always, appreciate your time.